Hi, I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us today for Faith and Family. Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, February 7th, and we're wrapping up a fun week here. All week long, we talked about the seventh commandment. Today, we get to part from that a little bit and talk about vocation, a specific vocation. Many of you know that I'm a director of Christian education. And a special treat today, we have the directors of Christian education programs here in-house at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. So we're going to talk with them about DCEs. What are directors of Christian education? What does it take to become a DCE? So we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We'll get to our guests in just a moment. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsors section and click on the CUW logo, and you can find more about their programs there and their locations as well. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section. Well, as promised, joining us in studio today, we have directors of various DCE programs from the Concordia Universities. And I'll start on my left here. We have Dr. Dave Reeder from Concordia University, Irvine. Dave, good to have you in studio today.
Great to be here, Andy.
And also joining us in studio, Dr. Kevin Hall from Concordia in St. Paul, Minnesota. Good to have you in the studio today, Kevin.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Dr. Debbie Archson from Concordia University, Chicago. Debbie, good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And I have to, you know, root for Concordia, Chicago. It's my alma mater.
Yeah, of course.
And we also have, we don't have in studio guests for these, but there are a couple of other Concordias that have DCE programs as well. So Concordia, Portland in out in Oregon, or out on the West Coast, and Concordia, Texas. Yeah. And Concordia Seward. Yeah. And my wife is a Seward grad. So she's out there rooting for them. But none of them are here to talk about it. That's because they're working hard. Somehow they let you guys out of the meeting.
Yeah, who knows?
Why did they choose you to get out of the meeting today is the question. Well, so glad to have you all in studio today. For our listeners, I talk about being a DCE, but I probably don't talk enough about what I do in the parish as a DCE. I'm a part-time parish DCE and a full-time DCE here at KFUO. So what is a DCE, a Director of Christian Education? Now, I know that you all have a definition of that, a working definition. Who's eager to start that conversation? We'll start with Debbie.
I'll start. We look at a DCE as a lifespan educator in the parish. So DCEs are trained to work with all ages, mm-hmm. from children to older adults. We often call it cradle to grave, mm-hmm. kind of ministry. And so their training is based in Christian education and theology. And they take a lot of other courses in addition to that, because many DCEs work in youth ministry or family ministry or children's ministry. Mm-hmm. But they really get a broad education, so they're able to be the DCE for the whole parish and not just for one particular age group.
I like his cradle to grave. I sometimes say basket to casket.
Womb to tomb is another
there
one
you
that's
go.
Used.
Yeah. Yes. See, I like the ones that rhyme. So, lifespan education, a lifespan educator, they cover all ages. And I think just before the program, we were talking about some of the myths of, what is a DCE? Yes, a lot of DCEs work with youth, work with children, but we're really prepared. We train to work with all ages as a director of Christian education. Gentlemen, would you like to add anything to that definition or anything you want to contribute to that conversation?
I think the additional help to this is, if you think Christian education and DCE ministry is kind of an integrative ministry where you're drawing from a number of sources, you're drawing from a number of disciplines, it's kind of an interesting academic discipline where, mm-hmm. By its very nature, it's kind of a hybridization where you have educational components, you have theological components, but you also have sociology components, you have psychology components, you have the attempts to understand, engage culture, mm-hmm. Whether it's on a pop cultural level or whether it's on dealing with international students, dealing with international populations coming to various parts. I've been working in Southern California. There is a wide variety of students that we work with, and preparing you know, students that may have come through, you know, I can talk about, you know, some of the graduates of our programs have been through and would never have said, hey, most of who I'm going to be dealing with are immigrants from China, or there's a congregation down in the San Diego area that has large African immigrant populations, and so it's integrating some additional knowledge of the various cultures and the interworkings of those cultures together, and so really your preparation as a DCE has enough of a broad base that you're able to start then kind of contextualizing that and saying, okay, what are the additional pieces that I'm going to need? And so from a director standpoint, we want to look at that and say, how can we give that solid foundation broadly enough on that foundation of theology and educational theory?
And that brings me to the next question. How do we prepare students for this vocation of director of Christian education? Many DCEs serve in parishes, some serve in other settings as well. What do the programs look like that prepare one to be a director of Christian education? Kevin?
Yeah, I think one of the real strong elements of our programs is that we do have agreement, and I guess that's one of the reasons the directors gather together, at least on an annual basis, to have conversation around just that question, looking at some common outcomes, and rather having a DCE from, say, Irvine and maybe from St. Paul being completely different, we're looking to have a DCE, a common DCE, or at least an understanding of what that is for the benefit of the church and the benefit of the parish. Now, when you look at the different programs, there are slight nuances and differences in terms of the programs might be named, or the majors might be named, or which colleges within the university. But at their core, they've got strong educational elements. Again, with the lifespan, you've got an understanding about growth and development across all those different ages, the educational components that go along with that. And then, as Deb mentioned, the theology, having a strong founding in the Word and understanding what that means, both on a personal level as a minister of the gospel, but then also be able to equip others in that. So I think those are probably two common threads, along with a commitment to a year-long internship, where they're all of our schools have that year-long experience where they work typically in a congregation to be able to live out what it means to be a DC and experience it firsthand before they take that first call.
So the go ahead, Deb.
Well, I was just going to add to that. All of the universities have some sort of a field work component in their program while students are on campus. So, for example, in Chicago, I have about 12 congregations that we partner with for students to go and learn about what it is to be in parish ministry, and they're mentored by either a DCE or a pastor, and it gives them that hands-on experience that they get an understanding of church ministry before they get to that point of going on internship.
When I was in the DCE program back in the dark ages, we had just started field work at that time, and was starting to realize the value of that parish experience early on in the program to really see, to start getting an idea of what's this going to be like. And that's so valuable to students to start getting some practical experience, some hands-on experience in the congregation. And I think that that's certainly one of the trademarks of the DCE programs as well. There's a theology foundation, there's an education foundation, and as Dave pointed out, the counseling and psychology element to many of the programs as well. But you also have the theory and practice as lifespan educators and practitioners, in a sense. You really get a broad education, I think, with both theory and practice. With that in mind, the education and theology foundation across the programs, students who come out of the DCE program don't all do the same thing in across the board in their parishes or in institutions wherever they serve. Do students have the opportunity to specialize in something or have a concentration in something? Do they, if they think they have gifts or, you know, if they have gifts and talents in a specific area, can they focus on that in their training and then utilize that out in the field later on?
They do. All of our programs are a little bit different in how that is formulated. But students can often choose a specialization, or sometimes they add a whole nother minor or major to their program because they really want to focus in on something. I think the most common ones tend to be youth ministry, family ministry, children's ministry. I currently have one who created her own specialization in the area of servant leadership and culture.
Wow.
And so she's creating it, looking at a whole different vision for DCE ministry. Because the truth is that, you know, many DCEs come out of college, and I would say by far the large majority of them do youth ministry and Christian education. But many of them also have other passions. And so we want to give them the opportunity to train them for what congregations are needing, which is by far Christian education and youth ministry, but also give them training and experiences in other ways that they can develop their passion.
And I've met several DCEs who have grown with their congregations, started off in youth ministry, and have grown with the congregation. Now many of them are in adult ministry or older adult ministry. I know one of the DCEs here in the St. Louis area who now focuses primarily on older adult ministry.
Yeah, as you were talking about myths, I think that might be a prevalent one, is that DCEs are essentially youth workers. And again, that lifespan piece is really essential. I see it on internship as students go through their internship experience where they think, yeah, I'm a youth person. And as they experience internship, really opens up the doors and saying, you know, I really do enjoy working with this other group as well and can see how the Lord can provide. So being able to have that training across really can help them, though it may not, they may not have direct responsibility in some of those areas right away. As you said, they often grow into those roles.
I know for me on my internship, one of the areas that I hadn't even really given much thought to that I got to experience on internship was visiting shut-ins. I thought youth ministry and education was going to be my primary focus, but my congregation, St. John Chicago, who we talked to this morning, they were very gracious in trying to provide a broad experience for me to learn about various aspects of congregational life. And so I had the opportunity to go visit shut-ins, and I was just overwhelmed by some of the things I learned. It was just great to get to visit all these shut-ins. They were a blessing to me. Here I was going to serve them, and they were a blessing to me. But I learned how much I enjoyed that as well, and found a great connection there where I could use what I had learned in my DCE training and education to serve these shut-ins.
In addition to that, I encourage my internship pastors to take their interns on hospital calls. And that's really a great learning experience because we tell DCEs that if they have youth or children in their ministry and there's a need to make a hospital visit, they need to know how to do that.
Sure.
It's a very enlightening kind of thing that, and they, you know, they're a little afraid at first, and then they realize that it's just another opportunity to do ministry.
Just to go and comfort a family and provide encouragement, especially families with children or youth or teens, it's nice to have that that support and encouragement and to work alongside with pastors to do that. Yeah, that's a great opportunity. I know in my parish experience, I've had the opportunity to do that. Probably one of the most exciting parts is to go visit families with new babies.
It's one of those interesting balancing acts, in a sense, as a director of a program to try to help students and expand their horizons, because one of the tendencies is you have students coming in, they're coming out of a congregation often, I would say, primarily because they've had a great experience in some sort of a strong youth ministry, or occasionally we have students, and I mean, I would even look at myself as a product of a not so strong youth ministry and a desire to say, that's what I'm bringing into my desire to be in DCE ministry, and to take that and to expand and broaden their horizons and understanding, and doing that through their fieldwork experience, and challenging them in both what they're doing at that level, trying to help them. I mean, you can go through a children's ministry course, you can go through a youth ministry course, adult education, go through all these various courses, and there's a continuing challenge to be able to say, how do we point each of those back to each other so they see them as an integrated whole, not as isolated pieces? And for me, one of the great joys is watching that and seeing a student catch it, or seeing a student on an internship make great application of, you know, how is what we discussed in a youth ministry class have great bearing, not simply on here's a group of high school students that we have, but what's going on in the entire family system. And helping them to see the broader sense of what's going on in their ministry instead of isolated pieces of it.
We've talked about youth ministry, adult education. What are some other areas that DCEs might be a great place for them to serve?
Well, one of the key areas is working with families, and that's. Again, that's a lifespan proposition, but recognizing that the family is really the unit that has the opportunity to live out the gospel each day. And so DCEs really can add value to that in the congregation, equipping families to have those faith conversations at home, being able to spend time in the Word and knowing how to help families and adults all across, I guess, the faith maturity spectrum in terms of ways that they can connect into their family and live out the faith. So that's, I see, as one of the real challenges for us as a church, and then also for our Christian educators, is how to help our families, which means parents, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, to be able to have Christ be the center in our homes rather than just a Sunday morning proposition.
And to thrive in that.
Right.
Not just Sunday morning, but to thrive. And that's what this program is all about, is supporting families to live a faithful family life, and not just Sunday morning being the only time that they're hearing the Word and speaking the Word, but throughout the whole week as well. So supporting families, other areas.
I think a couple of others that come to mind. One would be music ministry. We have a lot of students who have passion for leading worship, whether that's part of traditional worship or contemporary worship, and really using their musical gifts and engaging other people in that process as well. I think another one is that we have a lot of students who have a real heart for missions, and they want to get out into the congregations and communities and just be about telling people about Jesus. And whether that means planning and organizing servant events or just doing outreach in the community, there's a lot of passion for that. And that's something that we really want to encourage students to grow in, and to find congregations that want to have somebody on their staff that really will help excite people for that ministry.
What about, in all of these that you've mentioned, really sound like they involve leadership and organization. How much is that? How much of the program prepares the DCE student for practical experience in leadership and organization and administration? Dave,
it gets approached. We have a course on church management and administration, and that really as a class really focuses on that. But it also, if you're teaching youth ministry, if you're teaching children's ministry, you're talking not just how for you to hands-on do this, but how are you going to equip? How are you going to lead others? How are you going to do this and get the big picture sense and how to manage the whole process? And so I would see that as, there may be places within the curriculum where you have that as a focus, but it's also it's kind of an additional backbone thread type of a piece to it, where that type of a skill is absolutely necessary. On the side, it's kind of an interesting situation with my own call, as I'm actually kind of dual called, work as the Youth and Family Ministry Facilitator for the Pacific Southwest District as well. And so in that capacity, having the interesting balance and bringing into that the varying needs and what's been a benefit there is being able to bring stories directly out of congregations where particular DCEs or congregations that have had experience with DCEs, and they start reflecting back on, look, I may not have come into this with a need to understand the management side of a church ministry. But boy, is that a reality to what's happening? I don't know how many 18-year-olds show up and they're ready for, I want to be a DCE because I love budgets. But you really have got to get your head around that as a skill set so that you know how to manage it, so that the families that you're working with trust you not only for what you do in the teaching of the faith, but what you do for the safety management of their children. For the management of the finances that are going on. These are all essential pieces. So again, I mean, you keep coming back for me, I guess, the theme of the integration of all these kinds of talents and skills that absolutely is necessary.
And that, I think, goes back scripturally. That goes back to Acts chapter 6, where we see the calling of the seven to support the work of the Office of Holy Ministry, to manage these things. Yes, they're waiting on tables, but there's more to it than that. They're managing these things. There's organization, administration to all these things that support and lifting up of the word. For me, that in my work in the parish, that's the clear text for me is to what I'm there to do, is to support all these so that the word is at the highest of everything that we're doing, so that it can be preached and that word sacrament ministry can happen regularly without a lot of distractions for those who are specifically called for that. So what's unique about DCEs? We've got just a couple of minutes before we go into break, so we may have to continue the conversation after the break. But what is unique about DCEs in comparison to other offices in the church? What's unique about DCEs?
Well, I think one area, and you alluded to it earlier, in that if you look at two different DCEs, they could be doing the congregations could be asking them to do some very different things. So any particular call or any particular job description isn't going to look exactly like, and that's because of the specific needs of that congregation and their ministry mission and the context that you're in. So I think some of that uniqueness is that it's really being able to use those gift sets, as Dave talked about, in some unique ways, and being able to live it out in their particular vocation, their particular call.
So some congregations may have very similar descriptions of what a DCE does, but as you said, two different congregations might have two totally different things as the some of the specializations that we've been talking about earlier. Anybody else want to share?
I think there's moments where you have to understand. I mean, I would put this in terms of it's that what is a DCE? We're sort of by nature, we're an adaptive personality. I think there's what the person that gravitates toward DCE ministry almost wants to, you know, it's like you talk about thinking outside of the box. We're often unaware that there is a box, the freedom, the creativity that's a part of that is a great thing, because you can even, I would even say that there's times when you can have two identical job descriptions, but the context in which the ministry takes place dictates a very different approach. You know, in a couple of the congregations I served, both in Southern California, the job descriptions were generally similar. But my approach to the ministry, due to the different settings, you know, when I'm in a more affluent beach community, that dictates one type of ministry, where if I'm entering a less affluent, more inland area ministry, it's a different animal entirely. And my training had to teach me how to be adaptable to those, to recognize those differences. And I think that's a skill that absolutely has to be there as a part of that.
Kevin, do you have a lot of beach communities that you serve in the St. Paul area?
I've got a lot of lakes. They're a little frozen at the moment, though.
Not a lot of lakes, so you don't have to worry about the beach communities. Now, Chicago, yeah, you got a great beach there. Probably not a lot of beach communities to serve there as well. No. But all joking aside, Dave brings up a really good point, that the cultural context in which you're serving, the people that you're serving, the needs vary and might be an identical job description, but how you go about it certainly can be different. Well, we've been talking about directors of Christian education and the DCE programs at various Concordia universities around the United States. And we're going to continue this conversation with the directors of the DCE programs when we come back after this break, right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for more Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood's the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. They're also the most aggressive lobbyists in Washington, advocating for abortion on demand without apology. So when they attempt to build their huge abortion mills, they do so quietly and dishonestly. In New Orleans, they appealed to contractors only saying they were a medical office building. They said nothing about abortion. But word got out, and now the job site has stood silent since the beginning of summer. Of the contractors that did work for Planned Parenthood, two were cited for violations and received thousands of dollars in fines. The abortion conglomerate's having a very hard time getting people to help build their killing center. Louisiana's a pro-life state and wants nothing to do with the building or their blood money.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
KFUO, the messenger of good news. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." The message is clear. KFUO.
Following the National March for Life, join LCMS Life Ministry beginning January 22nd for 3 days at the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, Theological Motivation, Practical Know-How, and Valuable Time with Lutheran pro-lifers from across the country. Speakers will encourage you in advocating for life through your vocation as a Christian citizen to stand for those who will never take their first steps. LCMS.org/life or 314-996-1711.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Have you discovered Hidden Gems yet? Operated by Lutheran Senior Services, Hidden Gems is a resale store that features gently used items such as jewelry, home furnishings, clothing, and more. Proceeds benefit benevolent care for older adults who can no longer support themselves. Located in Crestwood Square at 9051 Watson Road, Hidden Gems accepts donations and welcomes shoppers from 9 to 4 Tuesdays through Saturdays. Follow us on Facebook or visit lssliving.org/hiddengems.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Roglin leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
This week on Lamplighter Theater.
Master Kure, I will admit there were times when I wished for this moment, and for that, may God forgive me.
David, look up! Bushman, hurry! Back to the wagons!
What?
Baruti, hand me my gun! They're shooting arrows! David! David's been hit!
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us today for Faith and Family. Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, February 7th. We are talking with the directors of the Directors of Christian Education program. That's directors a lot, isn't it?
It is.
It's like D2. directors of the Directors of Christian Education programs at Concordia Universities across the country. And we've been talking about the DCE programs. What is a DCE? What makes up a DCE? And even during the break, kind of laughing at DCE-isms and things about being a DCE. It's nice to have all my DCE fellows in the house today. What, and before we went to break, we were talking about what is unique about DCEs. And Debbie, I want to give you a chance to comment on that. You had some thoughts on what is unique about DCEs.
Yes. One of the things that I think is unique is that, first of all, on our Concordia campuses, the DCEs have a community system that is really strong, mm-hmm. and they have great bonds with one another, and they really support and encourage each other. But beyond that, when they graduate and get out into the field, the DCE community across our church body is the same. And so they know that when they go out, they're going to be supported, mm-hmm. they're going to be prayed for, they're going to be encouraged. They can go to any other DCE in any other location and be able to talk to them and have somebody who really understands about that ministry. So when DCEs get together for a conference or at a youth gathering, it's, first of all, kind of a big party because they just love to be together and love to have fun. But it really ends up being a very relational kind of thing. We always say ministry in general is about relationships, and they really embody that in how they encourage one another.
Not to forget that DCEs have a national organization, National Association of DCEs, which we've talked about on other programs as well. So the National Association of DCEs is a professional organization for DCEs. So in addition to the education and the programs that we offer through the Concordias, there's still that network of support once you get out in the field as well, that a professional organization. What is, we've talked about DCEs being lifespan educators when it comes to Christian education. How important is Christian education in the parish and in the home? How important is it? Kevin?
Well, it's central. As you look at scripture and as you look at the way Jesus lived his life and you look at what Jesus called us to do, and his ministry was about teaching. And that rolls forward into our congregations today and our communities today, a great need to be able to clearly teach God's word as it works within that particular community. Our congregations are faced with challenges in terms of what's going on culturally, what's going on within their communities and within their congregations, a raft of issues, and being able to have open conversation around that centered in God's word is critical. And as we've already talked about, the role of the family within that, and then all the different challenges that happens. I think one of the myths is that education is for children. And certainly one of the challenges that the church faces is still this confirmation drop-off that happens. And a lot of that is because of the framework that we see education as something for children and youth when God really calls us, and we see it through Scripture, of teaching going on throughout people's lifespans.
I think that's a cultural thing that we think that education is just for children. When you were talking about what Jesus did in the scriptures, he taught adults and blessed children. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my professors, one of my theology professors saying that Jesus taught adults and blessed children. And quite often culturally, what do? We teach children and bless adults.
Yeah.
Well, and we inadvertently teach children a set of contradictory lessons. Mm-hmm. We say, this is important for you now, but they're watching their parents. They're watching what's happening with the rest of the congregation. They're observing. And as they observe this, they embody that message. That unfortunate message that this is something for this time in my life, and you know, Kevin, I think it's interesting. You comment on kind of that drop off after confirmation, which is the area that I focused a lot of my research on. And as I was doing my research, it wasn't particularly what I was looking for, but I became a gigantic fan of children's ministry. It's the area that I'm probably personally the least strong with. I have great fun with children. I got a couple little boys at home myself, and they're great fun, but getting anything structured out of me with, you know, preschoolers and what have you, I can whip them up like crazy, but beyond that. But having worked now with several DCEs whose specialization, if you will, is in children's ministry, I'm a huge fan of what they do, because the single biggest predictor of a family's connection and specifically a young person's connection to the congregation after confirmation is how invested and involved they were in beforehand.
It makes that foundation that's laid during those early years is really important.
It's unbelievably critical. And the more they can see the more that the children can see that mom and dad value this, that this is an ongoing learning process that does not have a declared end date, that you're talking, why am I studying Scripture? Because my goal is to know Christ and know Him well. And we talk about DCE ministry being relational. Well, the foundational relationship is our relationship with Christ. And what is the goal of our education? Well, it's not to learn a bunch of things. It's to grow in that relationship. And when you recast it in that sense, it is a much larger and a far far more critical task.
An important task to raise up children in the Word and have that firm foundation. And so having that support for families to have that support of someone who's trained as a lifespan educator is really helpful. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Our elders have designed a job that we're looking for someone to fill, and we've lumped together outreach, assimilation, and children's ministry, and I was just wondering how, calling the DCE, how they would approach this job description.
Great question. You said assimilation, outreach, and what was the other one?
Children's ministry.
Children's ministry. How would you go about building a job description, and how would a DCE approach those types of things? Great question, Cheryl. Thanks so much. Who wants to take a stab at that? Debbie? How would you respond? Are those things that DCEs would be prepared to address?
Right. I think that becomes the first question is, what are DCEs trained for? Mm-hmm. What are their passions and what do they do? Obviously, many DCEs do children's ministry as part of family ministry. The outreach piece, for example, Concordia St. Paul has a DCO, a Director of Christian Outreach Program. You know, that's a direction to go. But also many DCEs understand outreach is just part of ministry. Mm-hmm. So they can certainly have a passion for that. I think the odd one out might be the assimilation. Not that they can't do it, but they don't really get training in, how do you go in and assimilate people in the congregation? They do get training in volunteer recruitment and training and managing volunteers, which is similar. It just kind of depends on what the congregation is looking at. I would say that, a DCE would look at those three areas and say, how can I make these all fit together? They're all unique and different. But if I'm going to do children's ministry, what does that mean in terms of outreach with their families and into the community? I think the assimilation piece could be part of that whole volunteer recruitment and management.
Very good.
Yeah, when I think of, I guess the word that I thought of hearing the question and Debbie respond is this idea of equipping. The aspect of really all of us in the church are a big part of our responsibility is to equip others. And that certainly could be an element of that particular role and function is that this individual, whoever might be in that role, would be equipping others also to be able to do the outreach and all of those other elements. I think going off of the volunteer element too, I think that's a big part, a big challenge and joy, and at times frustration for DCEs and others in the church, is how do we work with volunteers? And the way I like to think about it is, we're all the body of Christ,
right.
And it's about vocational discernment and understanding what my gifts are, and then being able to help people use those gifts. And so within our congregation, we have people that have hearts and passions and talents for outreach and assimilation and children's ministry and all those areas. So whoever might be in that role as the hired person would be to be able to help people find their role within that ministry.
Dave, any thoughts that you wanted to add to that?
I would just say that, a DCE in that role is going to approach, especially the assimilation piece, because that does seem to be the less traditional, kind of the outlier on that. But I don't think that has to remain that way. And I think that somebody in that position would look at it and say, what are the educational ways that I can approach assimilation? What are the ways that I can approach that through the education and gearing that into the equipping of others? Because I think one of the critical pieces, if you're going to be assimilated or become really connected to a congregation is, what is my participation? What does it look like? How invested do I feel that I am? Am I invested in ongoing learning? Am I invested in ongoing service? And those are two areas that DCEs, I think, are well equipped to handle.
And as a parish DCE, also having been a full-time parish DCE and now a part-time parish DCE, the just in this conversation alone in this room, it's clear that we all have different personalities and would take different approaches. I steer clear of the word volunteer altogether in the parish because of exactly what Kevin was saying, that we are the body of Christ. And so when we have responsibilities in the congregation, we share those responsibilities. We're not volunteers. These are the responsibilities that we share as the body of Christ to care for one another. That's our life together. So I rarely use the word volunteer. I use opportunities to serve. Sure. Here are our responsibilities. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong to use the word volunteer by any means.
Well,
but
and for a matter of terminology, I mean, I tend to shy away from the concept of assimilation and prefer to cast it in the sense of connectedness, because I think that one, it's more of a warm fuzzy, to put it that way. But it feels more of, what is your overall goal? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to feel connected to what the body of Christ in this place is doing.
Sure. And that means, for me, that word connected also helps in the sense it's not just about connecting within the congregational community, but connecting into the larger community, looking out as opposed to looking in.
Belonging might be another word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Belonging, being a part of this community, being a part of helping me understand, while spiritually I'm a member of the body of Christ, helping me understand where I belong in the body of Christ and helping us understand that faith language. Who is a good candidate for the DCE program, for a DCE program? Who's a good candidate for that? What are you looking for when who should be thinking about the DCE program to be a potential student?
I would say there are a few key qualities. First of all, is somebody who has just a passion to serve in ministry and who really is willing to make the sacrifices to do that in their life. I think leadership is a huge part of what DC ministry is. We talked about the administration and the organization, which is one part of that. But I think the internal leadership qualities go even beyond that. And I know one of the things I teach about is who are you as a leader in the inside? Who are you as a spiritual leader? And so it really needs to be people who are not afraid to be standing up in front of groups and doing leadership of meetings and events, those kinds of things. Some of those skills can be learned, but many of those are just innate skills, to be more of the upfront, forward-thinking kind of leader.
Who at the very same time can also be a behind-the-scenes person.
Absolutely. we teach their second chair leaders and always with the pastor as the first chair in the congregation. But second chair leaders are very valuable to the institution. They're critical in the church.
You bring up a good point, too, and I want to come back to the candidate of who's a good candidate for the DCE program. What's the relationship between a DCE and a pastor?
It's all about teaming. It's a shared ministry. The pastor is called to be the shepherd of the congregation. And the way we understand in our church body that the church at times can lift up various roles and responsibilities to help out in the public ministry. So DCEs are there to help and work along beside and with pastors. Mm-hmm. And so it's key to have a healthy and strong relationship there so that they can do their best to be able to serve and minister to the congregation.
So that brings up another quality that we're looking for in students for the DCE program, someone who can work in a team setting.
Right.
You can't be a lone ranger.
Right.
You
work in a lot of teams. When I went through my DCE training many years ago, when we talked team ministry, it was pretty much talking about pastor and DCE. But now when we talk about team ministry, it means something much bigger because a congregation is made up of all kinds of teams. And so learning to work certainly with the pastor, but the larger staff that may be in that particular ministry, and then committees and groups and all of that takes that skill of small group and large group communication and teaming.
The most important, the church secretary. Always be nice to the church secretary. Always.
And also, sometimes you're the team leader and sometimes you're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right. So recognizing the difference and being willing to be in either of those roles.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Other qualities that you're looking for in candidates for DCE programs?
Oh, we talked a little bit about somebody who's flexible and mm-hmm. adaptable. I think if you're a pastor, if you're a church leader, and you're looking around and saying, "Well, who could," I think you're looking for the person who, without much prompting, is lending a hand. That person is also grabbing others and encouraging them to lend a hand, and they're the kind of the self-motivated. I'm going to jump in where I see mm-hmm. there's a need. Because there's an interesting dynamic to DCE ministry where there are things that we have to be adaptable for, and saying something's not in your job description does not work well for that, and so finding the servant heart. Our servant-hearted individual who gravitates to that, who says, who very naturally, I think back to students that I had in ministry, and I get the joy. I've got a couple of my seniors this year are actually from a pair of congregations that I have served previously, so it gets really, I have to be careful what stories I tell because they can fact check me really quickly. But being able to walk with them and identify how they were able to see the ability to jump in and serve mm-hmm. and how put them in a situation with, hey, can you help out on Sunday morning with, the kindergarten class? And it becomes the joy and the mm-hmm. highlight of their week and giving those types of experiences and just seeing what skills and what passions rise up out of that.
What are the routes to becoming a DCE? I know that there with some of our other church vocations, there are multiple routes to becoming a pastor, or a teacher, a deaconess, or other programs. What are the routes to becoming a DCE? Kevin?
Well, certainly the traditional route is the undergraduate route where students enter in typically to one of the six schools that have the DCE program. But there are other routes, mm-hmm. Whether it be second career or older students, and each of the institutions has different ways of approaching that. Some have master's degree programs that can move towards certification. Mm-hmm. There's also the church has the LCMS has the colloquy programs that provide avenues for people to get certified in the different church. Offices. The most common one there would be become a Lutheran classroom teacher. Mm-hmm. But there's also a route there for DCEs to get colloquized. And each program handles it a little bit differently. But I'm sure each of the schools is open to the conversation around mm-hmm. If you're an older adult, as it were, and not the 18-year-old coming in and see that this is something that God is calling you to. We would all be interested in having that conversation.
The undergrad program, the traditional undergrad program, is across the board is typically 4 years of study and a 1 year internship. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we started off the program talking about some of the coursework that you would encounter in that, education courses, theology courses. What else makes up this program in the traditional undergrad program?
Well, we kind of have a core that we work with, which has components of which we've talked about, but built into that also is some outreach courses, some strategic management leadership courses. And then also in addition would be the psychology and communication mm-hmm. Courses. So that's kind of what we operate off of. And then we specialize into some of the education courses. In our programming.
Anything else that you want to add?
We also include like a family ministry course mm-hmm. Specific. We also have counseling skills because counseling is a big part of ministry. Mm-hmm. They also take a worship and witness course just mm-hmm. so they have yeah. an understanding of Lutheran worship in the parish and how that ties into ministry.
I remember my undergrad is in communication and theater, which is really helpful here, but very helpful in the congregation as well. You know, taking interpersonal communication and group dynamics and things like that have been very helpful in the parish as well. And even some of the other classes related to media and things like that have been helpful in the parish and understanding how to get the word out about some of the things that your congregation is doing certainly were helpful. But I would certainly say that the introduction to counseling skills course was very helpful. Just learning how to listen. We're not trained to do that in any other part of life. You know, we go through 13 years of school before we get to college, and we're not really trained to listen. We're trained how to talk, how to deliver speeches, but we don't go through a course on how to listen. And that was so valuable to have that introduction to counseling. If a congregation is thinking maybe a DCE might be a good match, a congregation or maybe an organization, an institution might be thinking a director of Christian education might be a good match for us, or maybe an intern or maybe a field worker if we're close to one of the Concordia universities, what should they do? What, first of all, what would be important for them to understand? And then what would be their next step?
I think for internships, what's really important to all of us is that we have congregations and agencies that really understand what an internship is. Mm-hmm. These are still students, and this is really their first foray into professional church ministry. So we look for pastors, DCEs, and other supervisors who really want to help mentor and encourage these students, at the same time challenging them in their gifts and abilities. So while it's less expensive to have an intern versus a called DCE, we want to make sure that they are into really healthy congregations that understand what it means to help raise up a young person into full-time church work. And so if they were interested in an intern or as a called DCE as a graduate, they can just contact one of the six Concordias to get that information. They can call the DC director directly.
Sure.
And then they can be, you know, directed to the right person to talk to.
Certainly. And today with the archive of the program, we'll provide a link to the Concordia University system website. And so that you can go to the theology programs and you can see the director of Christian education program listed under the theology in the academic program section there. And that'll get you to the DCE. It'll get you to each of the six universities that offer the DCE programs. If you go to the Concordia University website, look under academic programs, it'll get you to the DCE programs.
Right. You'll have to look specifically for DCE.
Right.
Some of us are housed under education and some are housed under theology.
Yes. And when you get to the actual college, each institution's website, some of them are under education. You still have to search for the director of Christian education program. But from that Concordia University website the systems website, that can get you to each of those schools that offer the DCE program. Any other thoughts you want to mention about congregations? Yes.
Yeah, I want to throw in something when you were talking about the differing routes and such. Mm-hmm. One of the things, there are times I know in Southern California we have a good number of folks that will do this, where their congregation, well, instead of identifying and calling a DCE, they will have raised somebody up and maybe start them off part-time, and they sort of are doing their own in-house kind of approach. And one of the things that we're trying to do in partnering with that as best as we can is for those that have done so and they're not geographically near one of the Concordias where you say, okay, well, I can't just pick up and go for the training. At least we've developed it to this point where associated with our master's degree, the training is available primarily through distance learning, done in real time through GoToMeeting. So we've got that as an option, which can be done either just simply post back where you're not doing it for master's credit, or we can fold that in with where you would receive a full master's in theology. So that's got that kind of nice packaging there. And what that does is it gives another opportunity for the person that gets identified within the congregation that is tasked with that. Well, how do we provide the additional training? Well, that's one method that we've particularly adapted to meet that need.
So there are flexible options when it comes to pursuing this program. Well, this has been a great conversation. I certainly enjoy it. It's always nice to get to talk about what what parish DCEs do, what organization and institutional DCEs do as well. And I get to be one of those who gets to do both, which is great. Well, I have enjoyed talking with all of you today, and I know that you guys have a meeting to get back to, and it's time for us to wrap up the program. So I want to say thanks for being our guest. Dave Reeder from Concordia University Irvine, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Andy.
And Kevin Hall from Concordia in St. Paul, Minnesota, thanks for being our guest today.
Yeah, thank you.
And Debbie Arfson from Concordia University of Chicago. Go Cougars.
Yay.
Thanks for being our guest today. We appreciate your time today and being here on Faith and Family and Worldwide KFUO. Blessings on the rest of your meeting and safe travels back to your institutions.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.